The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for exposing the masters within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, September 25th, 2011, for those listening live. And it's not if you're listening to the recording. Welcome aboard. As always, I would like to begin with connection. And so as we start, let's start with that primary connection that we have, which is inward, into connection, deeper awareness of our own divinity. And so allow yourself, in whatever way works best for you, I like going through the heart, but allow yourself to open into your divinity. Let yourself be filled with the divine light that you are. And give yourself permission to stay in this state for as long as you can. Letting go of the concerns that you have that are less than divinity. The worries, the stress. Just let that fall away as divinity fills you up. And let's move then to our anchor in the physical dimension, our Mother Earth. And again, do the connection whatever way works for you, but I like to go through my feet, through the root chakra, one or both of those, just down in, almost like I'm melting into the earth. And another way that I've been doing recently is just kind of falling backwards like it's a trust exercise and letting her catch me. And just feel that presence that she is. Expand the awareness of her presence. She's always there. And often we take her for granted, I believe. This is about really letting yourself feel her support and love for you. And breathing that in and letting it fill you up and flow through your life. Wonderful. And let's expand our openness to support again and open to connect with all of our guides and angels, those spiritual masters and teachers that we have around us, again, all the time, but that we kind of lose sight of in the day-to-day details of living. And just let yourself feel their presence with you, surrounding you, within you. Again, feeling that love and support that's always there, that's always waiting to serve your needs in that moment. Let yourself breathe into that and breathe that into you. And we expand out yet again. And let's connect now with the community at large here, the listeners, joining us, listening to this show, listening, co-creating it, listening live or through the recording is irrelevant. It's still co-creating. You're still participating in this, and there are still a group of us co-creating this. So let yourself feel that energy, that support, that presence of the others who are joining us in this co-creation today, in this co-creation of expansion, of empowerment. All right, and one more level of support to connect with is the support, the connection with all of the others who are walking a path of empowerment, a path of self-discovery and self-exposure, a path of spiritual awakening at this time on Mother Earth, that community of light workers. And breathe in and feel the web that we create on this planet right now, wrapping the entire planet, surrounding it, and supporting each of us within it. No matter what step we are taking, it aids all the others who are walking with us. And no matter what step they are taking, it can aid us as we open to feeling that support and that shared awakening, that shared empowerment, that shared direction. Wonderful. Thank you for aiding me in creating that expansion and that group consciousness, because that's what that's about. It's about acknowledging that there's more to us, to our experience, to our lives, than just what's in front of our eyes, than just what we look out and see and call reality. Although for most of us walking this path, we might not actually use that particular word, reality, and mean just the physical dimension, just what we see out here. But it is the starting point, and it's actually the starting point of discussion today. Reality. What is reality? What is that big picture? Let's take on a tackle a big topic today. The basis of reality. And the reason that I want to touch on this today, again, is I think that there's some confusion. I know there is in people that I've worked with. I certainly know there is in my own experience at times about just what is real and what isn't. Certainly in different spiritual teachings, there are terms. Well, one of them is Maya, which translates roughly as illusion. And that idea of illusion and that this level of reality, this level of experience is an illusion. And I can understand that from one perspective, from one way of looking at it, that this isn't ultimate truth. It's not everything. It's not the total of everything that is. And yet, I think from a more important perspective on planet Earth in this dimension of experience, that actually, that idea that we are living in illusion, living an illusion, while we're in body, while we're expressing through our personalities, through our lives, through our physicality, etc., I think that gets in the way. I know that, again, for me personally, at times that becomes an interesting comfort, but at the same time, when I when I try to apply that idea out into my life, that this is an illusion, the biggest thing that it does is it separates me from what I'm experiencing. And quite frankly, I feel disempowered when I go there because this is an illusion, so I can't necessarily react with it. I don't necessarily have the power to change it. And that, to me, is troublesome because I don't believe that that's the experience that ultimately we're here to have, that we're living in something that is the equivalent of going to the theater and watching a movie or a play, that we're here just to be observers, because that's kind of what that idea does personally to me and to a lot of people. When we buy into the idea that we're living in an illusion, it takes away that power to affect reality, it takes away the ability to be present with it, or the willingness or the desire to be present with it. Now, last week was all about presence, and I don't want to jump back there, but this idea of reality as an illusion, I don't know that it serves. And so if that doesn't serve, what way to look at reality does? What way to look at things does? And so that's what I'm here to talk about today. What approach can we take? What concept can we use, perhaps, that is going to be most beneficial and useful for us in dealing with our lives, in dealing with what's out there? Yeah, it's great, you know, to have the idea that it's an illusion. This isn't ultimate truth. And yet at the same time, that doesn't help a whole lot if you step out into the street, you step off the curb, and there's a bus coming. That bus, in most cases, no matter how much mentally you have the concept of this reality is an illusion, that bus is going to run you over if you don't move out of the way. Just thinking it's an illusion is not going to make it disappear. It's not going to stop it from having an effect upon you. And that, I guess, is another way to look at why, to me, this is not such a useful concept to have if we truly desire to step into our power and step into our mastery, because it isn't participatory. It's not something that we can just step into this idea of it as an illusion and, oh, suddenly everything clears up and our difficulties, our issues go away, and suddenly we are instantly manifesting everything we desire to manifest, etc. And that, to me, is sort of the measure of a useful spiritual concept. In other words, if I apply it in my life, if I actually step into it, how can I take it from being a concept to being a tool? And I don't see that in the current world, it's a very useful tool. Now, it might be a wonderful tool if you're living in a monastery or a cave, that this reality is an illusion. And in some ways, that sort of spiritual life, where you go off and you seclude yourself from as much of the experience of the physical dimension as possible, I think that's not only where this concept came from, but where it actually does serve. Because in that reality, the idea is to find spirituality by focusing away from the physical dimension, away from, in many ways, even acknowledging you're living as a human. Now, maybe that's a bit overstating it, or a bit harsh. I mean, it's not against people who wish to go live the monastic life. But that's not the way most of us are going to walk the spiritual path. And so, again, coming back around, how can we be here? What concept of or focus or approach to dealing with day-to-day reality, of interacting with other people, of interacting with getting our physical needs met for food and clothing and shelter, of interacting with, again, that bus and the cars and the birds and the plants and the animals and the computers and the phones and the television and the interruptions that are all around us. How do we deal with that, if not through the concept that this is an illusion? Well, I'd like to come back to one of my core beliefs, one of my core concepts that certainly has helped me and has helped a great number of the people that I have worked with, and that's the idea that we are here to experience this reality. That is our primary purpose. We're here not to pull back from it, but to embrace it, to interact with it, to step into it as fully as we possibly can. And so it's almost the opposite of looking at this as an illusion. Now, that's not to say that it's wrong to also have the idea that there's more to life than what we can touch or perceive with our physical senses. And we can know that because, well, we can't touch our thoughts or our emotions. They're internal states, they're internal experiences. And they relate to often what is going on around us, what might be looked at as objective reality, that physical level of reality. But they're not something that we can touch. Well, unless we write them down. Then we can touch the words that we're using to express those ideas. But that to me is a much more useful approach to this, that we actually are here to experience it, not to escape from the experience of it, which is what the idea that this is an illusion does. The approach that one can best take that might be most beneficial and actually be able to use the idea of this reality as an illusion is that we are attempting to escape from it into something else. And that, I believe, and again, this is something that I don't come to lightly or immediately. It's been through years of my own work and years of working with others and eavesdropping on the channeling that's coming through me in a lot of cases. That we are here for the experience, and that paradoxically, the way to get to the higher spiritual experience most easily is to embrace and fully step into the experience of what's going on right now. In other words, that in some ways, the very reason that we are not as connected perhaps with our spirituality or with our spiritual power or with divinity in general as much as we could be and certainly as much as we would like to be is because we are in some ways retreating, trying to escape from this reality. And the way that I believe most of us do this at the first level and most directly is with our emotions. In other words, our emotions are measuring some aspect of our interaction with that physical dimension, with the so-called reality around us. And yet, we have learned, most of us, to a large measure, to suppress a lot of that feedback. In the same way that we suppress a lot of the literal physical sensations coming in through the five physical senses. We need to, shall we say, filter through this overwhelming amount of information coming in. And again, going back to what I did last week about being present, there's a wonderful, I believe, exercise in there about that, connecting with the reality more fully through the physical dimension. But the next step is to connect with it more fully through, and that exercise also covers this, is to connect through our emotional dimension more consciously and more completely, I guess would be the best way to put it. In other words, to allow ourselves to really experience this is not just to take in the physical sensations of it, what we see, what we hear, what we touch, taste, smell, etc. But it's also to have the experience that is the inner experience of our of that moment. And that is through what we think about it, through how we feel emotionally about it. And again, many of us seek escape into the mental from the emotional rather than being with the emotional and understanding that it's simply there to give us a message. And that's one of my common messages. If you've listened to this show many times at all, you've probably heard this piece before, that the emotions are just a messenger and there's only two basic messages. If it's one of the positive emotions, the message is, this is good for you right now. This is something that serves you, etc. And if it's a negative emotion, it is something that is telling you it's okay to make a change. In fact, it's even time to make a change, to get an experience that is more in alignment with what you'd like, what you'd desire, what would serve you. And so by stepping into our emotions more and letting go of our patterns of suppression, consciously choosing to change those patterns of suppressing our emotions, which as we suppress our emotions, we're suppressing our experience. We are less present the less we're experiencing our emotions. And so the more we step into bringing the emotional body into equal alignment of importance with the mental body, with the physical body, the more we come into balance between all three, the more present we are. And the more we align through those bodies, the more we balance all of that, the more we are able to connect with that deeper level that underlies and interpenetrates this reality, which is the so-called spiritual dimension. Now, again, I say so-called because ultimately, as far as I'm concerned, everything is divine. Every molecule, every atom, every subatomic particle, and everything that's built out of those, everything that we experience as physical reality, including the trash, including the toxic waste, including our annoying neighbor, everything is divine and only divine. And we've stepped into this reality to experience what it's like to not remember that. That is what we're doing. Experiencing as divinity what it's like to not know we're divinity. Because we are part of the all experiencing herself. We are part of the all being the all, expressing in every possible permutation of isness and continually expanding the infinite possibilities of experience. Again, that's a pretty big concept, but bringing it back down to the individual, to the personal level, I believe that we connect with that experience that is transcendent, that experience of oneness with everything, that experience of ultimate love. However you describe it, however it's been described by the mystics and the saints and the sages and the spiritual teachers through the ages, whatever that is, or however it's described, the easiest way to get to it now on the planet, with the energetic shifting that's taking place right now, with the expansion of the percentage of people on the planet, of the percentage of humanity, not only the numbers of humanity, but the percentage of humans who are actively engaging in seeking spiritual growth, spiritual enlightenment, spiritual empowerment, again, terminologies in many cases, in many ways, are simply irrelevant, but they're the best that we've got. So there are more people now and a higher percentage of people on the planet right now than ever before who are actively seeking that connection with the divine. That's my belief. And what that means, well, that's that last level that we connected with at the beginning of the show, at the beginning of every show, that level of all of the light workers. Because quite frankly, the rules on the planet are changing. We are lifting into a different level of experience. We're doing it together. Not everyone's doing it consciously, but again, higher percentages doing it consciously than ever before. Seeking that inner divinity and the experience of divinity in everything around us. And so at this time, we have a great opportunity. And rather than avoiding what's going on around us and what's going on within us, I personally believe that the more we embrace everything that's going on around us, and I don't mean embrace in the sense of hold on to it and claim that this is what is, this is the truth, this is the only reality, but embrace in the sense of this is my reality, this is my experience in this moment. And it's what we have. We have this moment, and we have our experience of this moment. That's the building blocks that we have right now for creating life in the way we would choose it to be, in the way we would like it to be, and of coming into that sense, ultimately, of that deeper truth. Because, well, as I said already, I believe everything is divine. That includes each one of us. That includes every action we've ever taken, including the ones we judge ourselves for. Everything we've ever done has been an act of divinity interacting with other aspects of divinity, whether that's other people, whether that's our garden, whether that's our pets, whether that's our job, whether, again, that's our computer or our phone. Every action we have taken, are taking now, or will take in the future has been an act of divinity expressing as divinity in interaction with divinity. And I would suggest that you just take a couple of deep breaths to breathe that in. Because it is a very different approach than most anyone I've ever known grew up with. And it takes some of the pressure off to perform in either dimension, in either the physical dimension where we're supposed to get a job and do this and function in this way in society, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to be a good person, to be a good partner, to be a good parent, to be a good child, to be a good worker, to be a good whatever. Well, we're already divine. And that's what this mastery is about. That's what discovering and exposing the master within is about. It's about opening up into that experience more directly of our divinity and of the divinity of everything and everyone else. And I wouldn't ask you to do this just as an idea any more than I would suggest that you look at reality and say that's all an illusion. But I would suggest that as we move forward and expand our divinity, we do expand our experience of everything else as divine. And so it is about taking that next step of owning our mastery, of owning our divinity, of owning, again, our experience in this moment. And we're not going to get there by denying this moment. And that brings me back around to our emotional body, which is the place that most of us suppress the most and interfere with our experience of life as a divine unfoldment, as a divine expression. And so let's just take a few moments and connect consciously with the emotional body. Let's focus there. And just breathe in. And if you need a concept, an idea for this exercise, breathe in and you're simply seeking to feel how you feel emotionally right this second. I always find that an interesting exercise because it's not necessarily what I would have thought I was feeling, which it would be rather ridiculous to be down here and have two portions of us that do the same thing. So it only makes sense that the emotional body and the mental body are not coming from the same point of view, from the same framework. But the mental body, at least in most people that I know and most of those that I've worked with, the mental body thinks it knows what the emotional body is going through. And that's part of the problem as well, that the mental body is trying to control the show in most cases and tell the emotional body what to feel or stop it from feeling what doesn't feel good. When, again, the best thing that we can do in terms of being present is to breathe into it. Now, it's interesting for me that that exercise of breathing in specifically and just to connect with the emotions immediately starts to shift them. Because it's not about defining or holding on to a particular emotion. It's about noticing and experiencing the emotion that is there. Because what is the emotion? Why is it there? It's there to give us one of those messages. Okay, keep doing this, or let's make a change. Not the best thing to be doing right now. And the truth of the matter is, the more present we get with our emotions, the more easily they move. Part of that is the more present we get with them, the more we are erasing them, if you will. And that's not suppression. It's not the same as suppression. And erasing is perhaps not the best term, but we're letting them go. We're getting rid of them so they don't stay on the page of this moment. Oh, that was the emotion for last moment. I got the message, so I'm going to keep doing this, and that emotion can go away. Or I get the message, and yes, I'm starting to work on how to make a change. So thanks for the message, and whew, that emotion can go away. And that, I think, brings us to one of those truths that keeps showing up in multiple ways through multiple teachers across the board these days, is about being in the moment. And the more we can get in the moment, the more we are able to have the life we would desire to have. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily what we would desire to have in relation to specific other people. It's not about controlling others. But it certainly is about opening into interactions with others that are much more powerful, peaceful, playful, joyful, constructive, etc. Because we are coming from the moment, which is that place of creation. When we're living in and focusing on the past, that's not helping us create the future in the way we would like it to, because we cannot change the past. We can't go back and change our perspective on it, our relationship to it. We can't clear up some of those old emotions that got stuck with certain events or experiences in our lives. And why did they get stuck there? They got stuck there because we suppressed them in the first place. because we said, oh, I don't like this. In most cases, I don't like this, so I don't want to feel it. So I'm going to stop this, which means we didn't make the changes that that emotion was suggesting we might be better served by making. And so we keep carrying around those patterns that triggered that emotion in the first place, and we keep carrying around the emotion because we suppressed it. And so it's going to keep trying to get the message across, it might be a good idea to change this pattern as often as it can, as often as you will, we will create very similar circumstances again. If we don't get that we have a choice, then it's going to come back around. And that's not spirit testing us. It's not God testing us. It's not even our own soul testing us. When we have an experience that is or appears to be the same as another one we had recently or even a long time ago, it's coming around for one of two reasons. One, we have either fully integrated the shifting that we did, the change that we did make in relation to that pattern the last time it came up, and we're ready to go deeper and move forward more fully by expanding upon that change. Or it's coming around again because we didn't make the change that was suggested, and it's time to look at it again and give ourselves another opportunity to make that change. I don't personally believe that we ever get tested by spirit. We are simply given the next level of the opportunity through a pattern that appears to be similar. And in many cases, and this is a good example of what I mean by this, it appears to be similar. In many cases, when it comes around again, it feels worse than it did the last time, which our mind, our mental body says, well, that shouldn't happen. Why would it feel worse if we did the right thing? Why would it feel worse if we fixed it? Why would it feel worse? In fact, why would it even be coming around again? But as far as I'm concerned, it feels worse because in the process of making the change, in the process of getting more present with our emotional body, we're able to expand how much of the emotion we're experiencing at any given moment. We're able to be that much more present in the moment. So when a similar pattern gets triggered again, and we feel worse this time, it's not because, oh, well, there's judgment because we screwed up last time, although that may come into play. But that's about changing a pattern of judgment, so now we have two things to work on, whatever the pattern is that got triggered, and our own pattern of self-judgment, because we're not moving quickly enough, etc., on the path. But when we get that next level of it, and we've made the change, and now the pattern's coming around again, we can move through it that much more quickly. We can make this change more easily than we did the last one, because we're further along. We're more in our power because we are more in the moment. And so I'd like to do another little exercise here for a moment. And the exercise I'd like to do is to take some situation in your life and ideally, it would be something that is recent in origin, even though it may be a pattern that's been around your whole life, a recent example of that pattern, where you did have a negative response, you did have a negative emotion come up. And I would just like to have each of us breathe into that experience, whatever it might have been. And in so doing, first of all, again, like we did the last time, just notice your feeling. Secondly, this time, consciously put the intention in there that you're seeking that feeling to move. You give it freedom to go. You thank it for coming because you're getting the message of change that it's bringing. And so notice the emotion. Also notice the emotion moving with that intention. And again, not that it's necessarily going to be the answer here in 3 to 5 breaths, but notice anything that comes to mind while you're doing that breathing, while the emotion is moving. That might be a new way to deal with this situation, or that might feel like a confirmation that the way you're dealing with it already is the highest way to deal with it. Or, again, notice what your experience is. I'm not seeking to impose something on you, just give you a blueprint for the exercise. So begin now, and just as I said, take 3 to 5 breaths with this situation, with this intention. And you can keep doing the breathing, keep interacting with that, even though I'm going to start talking again. Not that anyone ever gave me the rules of radio, but one of the things they say at the rules of radio is never have dead air. Now, I didn't feel that air was dead because I could feel myself and each of us as a group interacting with these energies and moving them. So for me, even though there wasn't sound to listen to, there was energy to experience. And one of the things, again, my personal experience, but I'll share it here because that's part of why I'm here, to expose myself as an example of how we can each expose ourselves and step into that mastery. But again, when I do this kind of an experience, this kind of an exercise for myself, one of the things that happens typically is that as I can feel that energy moving, and whether or not a conscious idea comes on how to handle the situation better, what does come is a greater sense, typically, of peace about that situation. And I know that as I would sit with that peace, the ideas about how to handle it will come clearer and clearer. But I just want to touch in upon that for a moment, that peace that comes up again for me, because that to me is an expansion in the moment through the exercise of my experience of my own divinity, of my experience that I have the power within to handle that situation, that I have the power within to connect with that and to bring it forth and to change how I'm dealing with it. And that is what I've been talking about here. That by being more present with this reality of this moment, whatever our experience is, we actually connect more with the divinity than we would by simply attempting to separate ourselves from it with the wall of everything I'm perceiving is an illusion. So, and that feels like a good place to shift gears. And, well, thank you for joining me on that part of the journey. I do appreciate it. Now, typically, this is the last Sunday of the month, and this would be the time to do the drawing. But I did not get everything collated and written down so I could do the drawing for this month. So I'm going to do the drawing for September next Sunday. And so that gives you one more week to get some kind of feedback in, some kind of comment, question, some topic you'd like me to touch upon on the show, to still get in on this particular drawing. And as always, the drawing will be for 1 hour of channeling with me or a soul song session, which takes typically somewhere between 45 minutes and an hour, your choice. And so anyway, just to let you know that, I didn't forget. I just didn't get around to it, and we'll do that next week. So that being said, I believe it's transformation time, which means it's time to do some channeling. And as always, I would just have you as co-creators of this, just allow your breathing to deepen a little bit. No need to focus on anything in particular. In alignment with what we have been doing here today, just allow yourself to be present with whatever it is your experience is while you are breathing in. And I'll do some toning, and then we will have our guest along with us to offer the perspective directly from the other side. Mm-hmm. Hello, dear ones. Welcome. This is Metatron, come to be with you today. Oh, it is a glorious day to be in this dimension. To be this dimensional, if you will. And it is such a great gift. And we would actually have you each breathe into that concept, that idea that this is a gift. And yes, we will even toss in the cliche. That's why they call it the present, that this moment is the present and a present. And really let yourself connect with that. Let yourself connect with that. Let yourself feel gratitude for this moment. Even if in this moment, most of what you're feeling is negative, most of your circumstances are not the way you would like them to be, do you know what you still have? You still have choice. You still have life. You still have opportunity to make other choices, to change those circumstances. You still have opportunity to make a choice right now to breathe into whatever it is that you're not liking, so that you may shift it, so that you may change it, so that you may transcend it. And so breathe into that gratitude, because every moment you have is a moment that you get to choose within. Not that you will necessarily, but you have the opportunity. And that is truly the gift here. That is the gift, paradoxically, of knowing, knowing not your divinity. And why do I put it that way? Well, because in many ways, free will is about that very thing. You don't know your divinity. You don't know yourself fully. You don't know yourself well. You're exploring, you're dabbling, you're trying to figure out who you are in these moments. And that is where you apply free will. In figuring out who you are by making these choices. Rather than when you know who you are, when you are in your fullness of divine presence. It's not that you don't have the theoretical option to choose, but that you as divinity choose your highest expression of self automatically. And so, even though it is choice, you're not expressing your light because you have to, or because there are some angel Gestapo standing behind you saying, "Express your light." You're expressing it because you are that light. You're expressing it because you and your expression are one when you know yourself. So because you do not know yourself down here, because you do not remember, you have this experience, you have this opportunity to play with choosing. And what ultimately is that? As you choose, what do? You get feedback. Oh, that was a good choice. That was a bad choice. I loved the outcome of that choice. I didn't like this choice and what it brought me so much. And so what is that doing? That is you discovering yourself. Because that which does feel good when you do it, that which does feel right when you do it, that which does feel like home when you do it, is more truthful to your divine nature. And that which, when you choose it, does not feel so good, does not feel so right, does not feel so much like being at home, is you expressing in ways that are not as true to your divine essence. Now, again, it's free will, it's exploration, it's playtime. You are not here making those choices because there's something wrong with you. You are not here making those choices because you screwed up making other choices, and therefore we put you back in again. No, that's not it. You are here making those choices because you're exploring what that is. Because it is so alien, if you will, to your experience when you know your divinity fully. In other words, when you know your divinity fully, you always make the right choice because the right choice is always the expression of yourself that is most in alignment with yourself. Down here, you choose, and because you do not know your divinity, you are walking around in the dark, so to speak, trying to stumble your way on your path of self-discovery. But the discovery itself is in the choosing and in the interaction with the choice, in the choosing and the feedback that comes from the choice, in the choosing and the exploration of that interaction. And as you do that choice and get your feedback, you become clearer about yourself, whether you define that way or not. Most of you have not. Most of you have looked at it as being something right or wrong with you. Well, there's only right about you. And the feedback is only to tell you whether you are, oh, shall we say, closer or further away, like when you're playing Marco Polo in the pool. And that is all it is. It is a game. But it is a game that you are playing to win. And we don't mean win against others. We mean win within yourself. Winning is the awareness of yourself more. More awareness of yourself. More awareness of yourself. More awareness of yourself. And that is where you are all headed. Or you would not be listening to these words today. So, we give you our love. We give you our light. We see your divinity. And we seek to reflect it back to you, so that you may see it and experience it and embrace it more, moment by moment, within this reality. And it is reality, because you are experiencing it. And that is different than truth. Reality and truth are not the same. Reality is experience. Truth is what underlies it. Know that you are loved, dear ones. Namaste. Okay. Well, we can start up those chimes again. Thank you all for joining me today to co-create this time together, to co-create the experience, the messaging, and the channeling. I cannot create this without you. And of course, let me know what you think. Give me that feedback. Give me an email. Give me a call. Give me a question. Give me a suggestion. I will be back. Same time, same place next week. And we will do the drawing for September then. I do hope you'll join me again out there in the truth within. And remember, you never know where this show will go. And you never know where you're going to go. So take yourself out there. Give yourself permission to expose more of yourself to the world. To let your light shine. And know that there's a group of us here who love and support and honor you. Namaste, dear ones. Namaste.